Thank you so much. That really gets us in the spirit. And now our second reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Listen now for the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. The Road Not Taken by Robert Frost. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth, then took the other as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear. Though as for that, the passing there had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day. Yet knowing how way leads on to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh. Somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. How many knew that one already? Most people, yeah. I love Robert Frost and his poems. And so after that poem, psychiatrist F. Scott Peck wrote a book titled The Road Less Traveled, and you may have read it. How many here have read this book? Yeah, it was very popular in the 80s. When I was going, especially through my master's in mental health program at UCSF, I was reading this book. And I loved the book because Dr. Peck told stories with a reflection on some of the therapy that he was doing with his patients. And he would talk about different events in the lives of these people that had changed the paths of their lives that they followed. He also encouraged getting to know oneself. And once you know yourself, he talked about how that knowledge enables one to be authentic in life, if you are true to yourself. He also encouraged learning how to follow your own unique path and not trod the path that seemed the easiest or the path that seemed expected by others. Honesty, grace, and love are forces that Peck promotes in the world. But he admitted it takes courage and resilience to brave your own trail and not just follow what is comfortable. Now, Peck's perspective on love in The Road Less Traveled is that love is not a feeling. It's an activity and an investment. Love is an activity and an investment. And he defines love as the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another's spiritual growth. So he connects love and spiritual growth together. He says, love is primarily actions towards nurturing the spiritual growth of another. And he recommends being actively loving towards others in your life, not only to benefit others, but also to benefit yourself. And that reminded me of the purpose of the church, too. We have nurturing, we reach out with nurturing love to all God's people and love one another. And yet it does end up being a mutual blessing, because when we're together as a church, it benefits all of us. So it's a mutual benefit when you love others. Dr. Peck's inspiration to be authentic and loving to oneself, I think, was an inspiration that led me to explore going into full-time ministry way back then. Even though I was still in my master's in mental health nursing program, it came into my mind that I loved studying the body, mind, and spirit connection. And so I combined my healthcare background with theology. And the effects of faith on health had been and still is a really long-time interest of mine. So after 23 years of working as a psychiatric nurse, I felt led to follow a new divergence in the road without really being sure of where exactly that road was leading. But at the same time, too, I know I was feeling a calling from California. I wanted to get back here somehow and in some way. And so after being away 26 years, here I am today, 5 years into being back here. I can't believe it's been 5 years. So the three wise men, they went away from Bethlehem, it says, by another road. These wise men, I think, were truly wise. They paid attention to the character of Herod, to all that was going around them at the time, and they listened to their dreams before it was too late. They had an epiphany, you could say, that Herod was determined to find and destroy the new king who they knew and they trusted was the truly anointed one of God. Now, Reverend Tom Long explains it this way, and he teaches theology at the Luther Seminary. He said, many years ago, some wise men living in the eastern lands of the ancient world saw an amazing sight in the heavens, the rising of a new star. And he said, or maybe it was a comet blazing brightly across the dark curtain of the firmament. And they knew that the rising of this brilliant light was a sign from the heavens, a signal that something momentous, something world-changing had happened. And then he goes on to say, these wise men were shrewd observers of the night sky, those who looked for signs of decisive events and clues to the future in the heavens. So Matthew tells us that just as Jesus was born, they saw this new star rising in the western sky. And using all their powers of analysis and interpretation, they determined that this star was a sign that a new king had been born. So the wise men, they didn't know yet that it was Bethlehem. So they set off on the path that they thought was the main road to the palace in Jerusalem. And they figured that a new king would be born in a palace. But they set out on the path that most people would have taken. They took the big wide road that was the easiest to trod, that led right up to the center of power in that region. Once they got there, they realized they were not in the right place. The main easy, well-traveled road had led them into a political hot mess. When they told Herod they were seeking a new king to pay him homage, the wise men could feel the anger and hostility pouring out of Herod. He had a reputation that they did not know about for ruthless behavior in order to protect his political power. Asking Herod, the current king of the Jews, where the new one was to be born, it would be like going to the Kremlin today and asking Vladimir Putin, "Where's the new leader of Russia? We have come to pay him homage." I wonder how Putin would respond to that. Vladimir and Herod do have a similar history. Vladimir Putin is known to wipe out his opponents. Herod was known to eradicate anyone who threatened his throne, even if they were related to him or previously thought of as his friends. Thank goodness the wise men really wised up to Herod's character, and they took off in a different direction away from Herod's palace. They continued to follow the path lit by the star, but it was a path less traveled, and led them to a humble stable, or some say now, by this time it was a humble home, because it wasn't necessarily immediately after the birth of Jesus. They said this happened within 2 years of his birth, but we know that he was among humble people at that time. So with the help of that blazing star, they were led to the true king of the world, born among the least of these, born among the shepherds and common animals. Now Herod represented everything in human beings that was greedy and cruel and corrupt. The Messiah would not be born in such a place. Jesus always preferred to be with blessed ones, the poor in spirit, the mournful, the meek, the merciful, the pure in heart, and the peacemakers. Places and people who idolize wealth or develop schemes to gain prosperity are going down the wrong path. That is not the path that leads to Christ. Like in the days of Herod, we live in a time when political power brokers in gold palaces and towers are ignoring the cries of the poor and turning a deaf ear to the pleas of the desperate, the hungry, the orphans, and the refugee. Jesus often told us he would be among the hungry and the thirsty, among the stranger and the immigrant, among those who lack clothing or medical care, among those in prison. Remember, he said, "Insofar as you care for the least of these, you care for me." So whenever we ignore these least ones and instead support the successful and the powerful, we are on the wrong path. From the beginning, the gospel of Jesus Christ has been deeply political. Politics is entwined into this Epiphany story for today, but not in choosing one political party over the other, but about supporting the leaders who are anti-Herod, who advocate for justice and equality for the oppressed and the vulnerable, the humble, and helping those in poverty. We know that Herod was determined to keep his power, and that's why he shook with fear when the wise men told him that a star risen in the sky announces the birth of the new king. Herod knew that the birth of the true Messiah meant the end of his own reign over the Jewish people. The people were frightened, not because they would lose Herod, but because they knew Herod was capable of responding in a barbaric way. And you can see in this is an ancient painting from 1470 called The Massacre of the Innocents. Matthew tells us later in the story that he ordered the separation and massacre of all children younger than 2 years old. He tried to stop Jesus and his kingdom from coming into the world with this massacre, and it was far and wide. But when Jesus Christ is at work in the world, the powers of oppression are stopped by us, who are his modern day disciples. This is the time of year to ponder how you will be that disciple and to ponder your own path while you still enjoy the gift of life on earth. Consider where you have been, what paths you have followed, what you have learned from them, and where are you going this new year? It's like a homework assignment that I handed out today. There's a handout that I'm really encouraging you to write a few thoughts about maybe your personal epiphanies as they relate to your faith in God. Ponder these questions, and these are questions that Nita came up with us last night at Sacred Space. We took some time to go over this same handout and pondered where we are in responding to epiphanies in our life and responding to the call that if we take time to listen, God is speaking to us. And then there's a few more questions that I encourage you to think about. Is there more that you want to do with your life? Are you feeling a call to explore a new path that brings you closer to the path that God has planned for you? It doesn't have to be a new career path. It can be a volunteer service path, like getting more involved with church ministries, for instance, helping immigrants and refugees if there's a way, or by helping our church become more green and our planet healthier. Our church needs help with any of these kinds of ministries. We need groups of people who are inspired to lead them. You might decide to follow the path and be an encourager and a mentor like Dr. Peck, who inspired others to authentically show love. And there are many ways to do that. You can be a tutor for students at Montgomery High School or be a volunteer at the Living Room or at Fish. There are people in this church that do that often, and they can help you get connected. And maybe this is a time in your life when you need to embark on a new adventure and provide volunteer support to the new Council on Aging Social Club that we have coming to our church in February. I can help you get connected to the Council on Aging and learn more about the social club that they're planning to have here for people. It might feel uncomfortable, though, to change and to try a new thing when our world seems to be changing so quickly already. Jesus came to earth, though, in such a time as this, and we are all called to follow his path and his way of being in the world, which seems to be traveled less and less. So, like the three kings, I encourage you to go out of your way to find a closer connection to Jesus. There you will also find joy. Amen.